Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, welcome to the Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. It's 6:30 for Monday evening. What an apt time for Sharpie to miss the show.
I tell you what.
Did he plan this?
I feel for Ozzy big time.
I hope
you know.
Didn't plan it.
I really feel his timing's impeccable in it, Sharpie, isn't it?
He'll be sat there because he's gone to Southport. He's doing the FA Cup draw tonight, isn't he? Southport against Fleetwood. And we arranged this when Ozzy was on holiday last week. And he obviously thought, yeah, it'd be great. Come in, have a nice chat about Everton.
I did.
Tin hat time. It's... Welcome, Leon Osman again.
Yep. Thank you.
Oh,
pleasure to be here this evening.
Through gritted teeth. Let's get this one out of the way.
Yeah.
Two Aussies. You were called Ozzy at school.
I was, yeah. My nickname was Ozzy up till the age of... Well, some people still call me Ozzy. Yeah, when I was a kid in Banks Road School in Garston, yeah, that's my nickname, Ozzy.
Was it the middle name or something?
No. At the time, like, I was always good with my head, and I was leaping and all that, and there was Ozzy the Ostrich as an animated character years ago, and he said... Because I could reach the ball with my head, that was it, Ozzy's like an ostrich, you can head the ball high, whatever, and so it stuck. So if I go down to Garston now and again, and I go to... It's a boozer or the one of the clubs, like the Woodcutters Club. People still call me Ozzy.
You hear a shout across the room, "Oi, Ozzy!"
Yeah.
So you answer to that?
Yeah, because I know they're from Garston, yeah. They're from New Age School.
Yeah, he's got a more of a normal reason behind his name,
that's right,
hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been away, haven't you, for a week? And a nice week off, but you have watched Everton.
Of course.
You've done your homework for this one.
Of course, yeah. Managed to get away for the half-term holiday. First time I've ever managed to do it, so it was enjoyable.
Is that a bit weird, being a footballer and hitting that first sort of half-term holiday when you're not doing the football season thing?
It was strange this time, you know, during the season the wife might go away once or twice, you know, with the kids and you stay at home because you've got training. But this time I managed to get myself on holiday as well. So it was...
Where'd you go?
Tenerife.
Oh,
week in the sun in Tenerife.
Lovely.
Got myself a little tan. You can't see that on the radio, though.
Tell you what you have. Right, there's loads to talk about. Of course there is. Not least Liverpool going top of the league. We'll get on to the positive stuff first.
Yeah.
We'll talk Everton in one sec. How good were they yesterday?
Yeah, you know, people say, you know, they always say about the opposition not being great, but look, you know, got to beat what's in front here. And the first 10 minutes, we didn't get out the traps well, but bit by bit, you could see the passing and the movement working, and, you know, gradually missed a few chances, and you're thinking, is it going to be one of those days? And then
Lucas missed an open goal, didn't he?
Really? There's a few other ones as well, yeah, but Lucas, you know, he knows he should have scored, but hey, he's not a goal scorer. And then when Manai scores, the floodgates opened. And it was a joy to watch. It was really...
It wasn't. Let me tell you, it wasn't a joy to watch.
I was actually in the director. Robbie Fowler got me a seat right at the front of the director's box. So I was apt. I had a great view. It was a great seat. And I could just sit back when it's 2-0 knowing there's no way this Watford side's going to get back into the game. But, Liverpool had, I think it was 19 shots on top. It was a record or something on Sky today. You know, the goalies pulled off some great saves between the two of them. Sturridge came on a sub and even could have had an hat trick. You know, there's so much pleasing things to see. Okay, from a negative point of view, you know, you could say, well, we didn't get the clean sheet, you know, but yeah, it does. You know, when you score 6 goals, you can hide it well, can't you? You can hide it well. That's something that should hurt the keeper and the defence, even though it wasn't the keeper's fault. But hey, you couldn't knock it at all. It was just a tremendous display.
Best performance by a team this season, do you think? Am I pushing that too far? I heard someone say that about Chelsea on Saturday against Everton.
I think it was
Steve McManaman who said that.
I watched both games and... you know, it was close, but I think on both occasions the opposition didn't play very well, and I'm putting that as kindly as I can. You know, talking Liverpool first, Watford didn't look like they really turned up to get any kind of result. You know, Liverpool turned up for 10 minutes and Watford folded. So, you know, great credit to Liverpool. They really did look a good team, worryingly so from our point of view. But, yeah, I'd have to say Watford were appalling on yesterday.
How good were Chelsea then? And how bad were Everton?
Again, both. I thought Chelsea were fantastic, but Everton were terrible. And you know that's the kindest way I can put it. It was a change of formation to start with, which had surprised me. I don't know if it surprised many.
And does that not help?
Can I just say there, we were talking on Thursday show, I don't know if you listened, Ozzy, and I said to Sharpie, you mentioned going three at the back. I went, well, you can't accommodate Chelsea. You've got the second best defensive record in the league. Go with your back four and take them on as normal. I think, and I said, if it comes unstuck, it comes down to the manager, you know, for changing it. And I think that's a little bit of maybe negativity, you know, taken away from what... Hey, they've took other attacks on as well as Chelsea and done okay. So I thought he might have been asking for trouble, you know.
I did myself. As you've just said, when you've got a strong defensive unit, everyone knows what the jobs, everyone knows the positions they're supposed to be covering. Everyone knows, you know, what's required of them. But, you know, you go to three at the back and straight away, if you've not done it before, there's that uncertainty of, do I go out wide and close that ball down? And you know, I just felt the three at the back at times. You know, Chelsea, everyone knows they play three up front pretty much. And we were left one-on-one at the back on upteen occasions in the first 20, 25 minutes. It seemed to be Hazard was dragging Ashley Williams out wide and Costa and Jagielka were one-on-one. And Pedro Funes Mori, it just always seemed to be they had three-on-three. And, you know, Ashley Williams kept getting dragged out wide into wide positions against Hazard, who, you know, that's where Hazard wants it. Centre-halves don't want to be out there. And Hazard kept getting him out in wide positions. And as you've seen, that's where the first goal came from. And I'm pretty sure more than that came from there.
By the way, how good was Hazard? I mean, Coutinho was good.
I didn't see the game.
Honestly, he was playing like one of those footballers you just think, this is fantasy football.
Well, when he played against Liverpool at Anfield the end of last season.
It was last home game.
Yeah. He was different.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a bit like that.
Absolutely.
Again.
He didn't turn up last year, did he? But, yeah, you know, I remember in that game, he played really well in that game against Liverpool. And he's continued his form into this season, to be honest. He's, you know, he scored several goals and, you know, assists. And he's looking like the player he was 2 years ago when he won the award. But I've got to say, the rest of the Chelsea team weren't far behind him. You know, Costa was near enough unplayable at times. And their whole unit was a lot more effective than ours. And it's disappointing to say that, but they were.
OK, before we get to our first caller, if Idrissa Gueye was not suspended for that fixture, would he have set up with that formation?
I think he would have, yeah. I think it would have just been a straight swap for Cleverley. I think Cleverley came in and pretty much did the Idrissa Gueye role. You know, Barkley was ahead of him and Bolasie and Lukaku were up front. So I think it was premeditated. I think he was going to do
it. So he was too ambitious, the manager?
I think he was going to do it regardless. Was he ambitious?
Was he intimidated by doing that thing?
I don't know about intimidated. I think he's just, you know, I think he's just thought that, you know, they play three at the back and maybe he's seen a way of beating that. He's tried to be clever and it didn't work out. I think he came out and said, though, that it wasn't anything down to the formation why Everton lost the game. It was just that we didn't compete with them. And on a personal note, I think if as a manager and you change the formation and things don't go well, usually you come out and you defend the players and say, you know, maybe I didn't give them a good start. Because he changed it 25 minutes in, he realised it wasn't working. But by that point, the game had already drifted away.
OK, we're going to have a chat with a couple of our callers. We've got a little bit of a problem with some of our other phone lines, according to Dave, our producer. But we have got Kev, who's a blue on the line in Walton. Evening to you, Kev.
Hi, guys. Yeah, good. Yeah. No worries. Mine's just... Leon's really just took the words out of my mouth, really, with Cleverley. I'm not one to knock, obviously, professional footballers. I understand, you know, the tempo and the work rate that's involved in the game. But what I just don't see what we're seeing Cleverley. For me, he just doesn't offer anything to the team in any way, forward, sideways, backwards. I think he's just, you know, he's obviously been a decent player in his time, but for me, he's just a decent championship player at the best. And you know, he was there because of obviously Gueye wasn't there, but I just don't. He's not Everton level or what we need out of a forward goal midfielder. And I just wondered what Leon thinks of that.
Well, I played with the lad, so I'm not going to be overly critical.
No, you wouldn't, no.
But You know, he's not an Idrissa Gueye. He's not that type of player. He's not the destructive type that him or James McCarthy. I think if James McCarthy was available, he'd have come in and done that job as well. But you know, cleverly came in. You know, he gets about the pitch. He's nice and tidy. He makes clever passes. But he was brought in under Roberto Martinez, who really really liked him, really loved him as a player. Ronald Koeman, I don't think he got in the squad for the first six or seven games, and he's worked his way back in. So, you know, I don't think Ronald Koeman was one of the people who liked him at first. But whether it be that, you know, he's been doing stuff behind closed doors, being training ground, that's started to impress Ronald Koeman. I'm not sure. I've not been to the training ground lately, but, you know, he's certainly worked his way back into the team, albeit, you know, I think we were forced into it with injuries to a big part of our midfielders.
Yeah, again, I'm going to throw a bit of a wild one here, Leon. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not. I go the match. I don't go all the time, but I do go, and I'm not one to go as way as much as I used to. But I'm looking at us, and I'm happy. I'm happy with Koeman. Spoke to Sharpie last season, and we were saying if we got him, it'd be a great catch. But some of the games I've watched, and I'm walking at the ground, and I'm thinking, have we changed from last year? Is there anything there which is a standout factor where I've thought, are we going forward with this, or is it just really a reverse on what we've seen under Martinez? And I'd probably take a bit of a barrage for this. What you're on, is he on the lemonade of that? But, and it, you know, I'm 35 years watching Everton, so I've been, you know, all the games home and away, all the Rotterdams and that, and I'm thinking, you know, I know he's got a lot of work to do, Ronald, and I'm sure he'll get it right for us. But, you know, the first few games, really excited. And then I'm walking out the ground and I'm thinking, I'm a bit deflated from last season, and I'm getting that feeling again with it. You know, has he got more work than what he probably realised he had, you know, to do in the summer? He's probably thinking, you know, this is a bit more than what I bargained for. This, again, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we've brought Ronald Koeman in. You know, he's a great person, a great manager to have got to our club. But he's 11 games in. You know, let's not forget he's only managed them 11 league games, and I think the first five games it was four wins and a draw. So, you know, five games in, everyone was delighted. We've hit a little bit of a blip. You know, things haven't been going our way. Last, I think it's one win in six now. So, obviously, things aren't going great at the minute, but I think what's changed from last season is, you know, I think we were very open last season. Granted, I'm gonna pretend Saturday didn't happen here. We were very open last season, and on the most part, he shored us up. You know, I don't think we're as fluent going forward as we were last season, but we're tighter at the back. We're a tighter unit, and we can win games 1-0 and 2-1 and maybe 2-0. And you know, now that seemed to work for five games, six games, and now we've hit a transition period where the teams have worked out his new style or what. But you know, we're only 11 games in. Let's just give him a bit more time. Let's give him the chance to put his real stamp on this team. You know, and that's going to take a lot more than 11 games to do so.
All right, Kev, hopefully Leon's cheered you up there.
Well, just to say before I go, Leon, you should be still there, mate. You can still offer us something, and you were, I was a big admirer of yourself, to be fair. You were a great player, and Gilly told me to say that, by the way. I know what I'm on about, but he never put in. I was a big admirer, great player, one of our all times, mate, and I hope it works out. All the best for you.
Thank you very much.
Nice one, Kev. Thank you very much indeed. We'll take some more of your calls very shortly indeed. We won't mention the radio station, but of course, the chairman, Farhad Moshiri, came out today and talked about a variety of things. Obviously, I think in an attempt to sort of quell the mood. Yeah. You don't often hear a chairman come out, Johnny, but some of the stuff he said was interesting. He said he will back his ruthless manager in the transfer market. So any player who isn't living up to the billing... Well, Ronald Koeman, and you know him as well.
Well, he will, of course.
He's not going to hang around trying to make people better than he knows aren't good enough.
He's gone in there and he's given the lads in the squad an opportunity. You know, whether he waits till January, it's tough in January, we know that, but there are players about in there, you know, to go and make a bit of a statement and then in the summer. you know, to see the backing, because he's not spent nothing, a lot of money.
So no immediate overhaul by Ronald, just a longer-term sort of vision?
Of course, yeah, you don't panic. He's a good manager, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. You've got to give him time. He's working with another man's tools at the moment. Like Jurgen Klopp, when he first came in, he's working with Brendan Rodgers' players. You know, at the end of the day, the season ended. He knew where he was. He knew what he had to get. You know, Benteke went out. Now, that's a statement. You know, he goes, he gets the money, he gets Mane, who's more efficient in the way Liverpool play. And what business that is, by the way. That's fantastic business. You know, for the same amount of money as Benteke, he's got him in. Then he's gone and the other play, Matip on a free, and, you know, the goalie and one or two others, Grukic, and, you know, straight away, you know, he's just doing it his way. Daniel Sturridge can't get off the bench. He doesn't care. He's not getting rushed into doing nothing. And that's what you'd expect. Well, I expect what I know of Ronald Koeman, he will do. You know, you just got to dig in there and realise he's trying to work with other man's, you know, players.
Okay, we'll get Ozzy's take on that in a moment or two. We'll take a short break. This is the Radio City Legends. More of your calls to come in a moment. 0151 4720 967. John Aldridge and Leon Osman in the studio tonight.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7 o'clock. This is the Legends. John Aldridge, Leon Osman, and surprisingly quite a few Blues waiting to come on. We'll get to all of you, hopefully, get through some of those calls. But Reds as well, we want your calls. Can they win the Premier League?
Leave the Reds at a draw, right?
Can they win the Premier
League? Enjoy the moment. They just don't want to come on talking.
Come
Brad.
On, Reds.
Just
phone up.
You keep sitting on the fence, by the way. Show after show, can they win the Premier League? Oh, I can't say anything.
At the end of the day,
come on, spit your dummy out. Tell us.
Of course they can win it. It's there, you know, for Liverpool or City, Chelsea, Arsenal. Who knows? You know, there's an opportunity there. Leicester did it last year, and Liverpool just keep on. You just got to take every game as it comes. It's an old adage what we've always said. You don't look any further than the next game, and then the next game after that. You don't look what's in the future. You know, and look at your fixture. Just take it on, and as long keep the bottle. That's a big thing, to keep the ball.
They're good if they play to this level. I had Sadio Mane in the Carlsberg suite yesterday. Yeah. I said to him, can you win the Premier League? Will you? He said, we can win every game. He didn't say we can win the Premier League, but he seems to think they're good enough to win every game.
Good confidence.
A great answer.
You know, but the way things are looking at the top of the league, everyone's leapfrogging and each other and wanting to spend one game there, you know, and then Man City are dropping points and Arsenal are dropping points, Tottenham are dropping points, so... You know, if you keep winning games, who knows where it can take you?
Look at Chelsea. You know, people were saying Conte could get the sack about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's gone, bosh, 4 or 5 games on a bounce, they've won. And, you know, they look a different side. It's just crazy football, you know. But just take every game as you come. And that's a great answer. We can win every game. Because the way Liverpool are now, whether it's home and away, with the manager's philosophy, they go to win a game. They don't go to sit back. You've seen it at Palace. They will go to attack. The opposition, whatever they are.
Well, Liverpool's record at the minute is the same at home as it is away. I think you've got 13 points at home, 13 points away. So, you know, it is. It's, you know, a lot of the times you've got to have good home form, but your away form to win the league, it's got to match your home form. And at the minute, unfortunately to say, it is doing.
It is. But when you mentioned about Watford before, they actually, and they did struggle, but what they tried to do, other teams have come to Anfield and they've got like 11 men, like West Brom and other teams, 11 men cramped, you know, made it narrow, cramped the width of the 18-yard box and stifled Liverpool. Watford actually tried to play with two up front and they allowed Liverpool a little bit of room.
I don't think they tried very hard, no. John.
but once the first goal went in, they didn't have a plan B and they kept it the same. They tried to, you know, get out, but they give Liverpool far too much space. You know, which other teams perhaps haven't done this year.
Yeah, that's the thing with Liverpool. You nowadays, you can't give them room to run into. It's not necessarily space. You can sort of give them space at their feet now at times, but if you give them room to run into, space to they've got people that just constantly make forward runs now. The front five are always making forward runs, you know, and then they've got the quality players in the team to be able to play them in. And, you know, you've got to deny them room to run into, and that's the key to trying to stifle Liverpool at the minute.
Let's take another caller. Red. No, it isn't, John, actually. It's another blue. Let's get back to the phone line.
Cheers, Sharpie.
Radio City Legends, it's Anthony, who's in Netherton. Evening, Anthony.
Hi, you okay?
Evening, you okay?
Yeah, yes, Sounds. Don't call me a red there, boys. You know.
It's just winding me up, Ant.
I'll have sails down that tower of views in the league, by the way.
Oh, really? You're that confident we won't?
You know, you've got to be, haven't you? No. My main point is tonight, boys, is, you know, the interview at Machiri today with Jim White on TalkSport.
Hey, hang on. It's a different radio station. Cut that. No, cut the references out to that. But, you know, we know there was an interview. Go on.
Well, it'd be better if he'd done it with local media, wouldn't it? But he obviously doesn't. He's obviously got faith with Jim White. But the fella's wiped £80 million worth of debt out there. He's got a new stadium coming up on the docks. And there's Evertonians still questioning them. And it's unbelievable, I think.
But do you know, just from my point of view, I didn't know that he's wrote debt off. I didn't think Everton had much debt. Was it 30 million debt or something? It was very minimal, wasn't it?
He's come out today on the radio there and said it was £80 million and we're free to do what we want.
Yeah. He did. I mean, I listened to the interview and he pretty much said that. And he said, we will deliver a new stadium to reward the loyalty and the passion of the fans. Now, that's quite a promise, isn't it?
It is. I mean, well, first of all, it's rare these days for a person in his position to be so media savvy, to come out and make things known. You know, usually the chairmans and the owners, they tend to keep stuff to themselves. So, you know, first of all, for him to come out after the weekend, what's happened, and trying to assure Evertonians that, you know, with me in charge, I'm going to be trying to push this club forward. I'm looking to get us a new stadium. I'm not just going to sit and let things happen. I'm going to try and make things happen. And we've got money to spend. And, you know, the things he's saying are great, you know.
That's the thing, though, Leon. I mean, we've got fans there that are going, he's only coming out because we got beat 5-0 the weekend. Well, he could come out when we had an excessive wave after the first four games and go, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he could have come out with these statements then, but he never did.
No, he didn't.
So, which is fair play to the man. He's just, I don't think he's come out with these statements because we lost 5-0. I think he's coming out and he's speaking to the fans now, isn't he?
I think he
realises now. I think he was a bit, he was quiet at first. There was nothing coming from him, was there? But I think now he's realised, I've got to speak to the fans. I've got to let them know what the plans are. And he has done. And fair play to the man.
Well, the way he's done it, you know, it does sound like he's very genuine. You know, it sounds like he's got a plan. He wants things to happen. You know, okay, we've had a big defeat at the weekend, and he wants to assure Evertonians that don't worry, the club's moving forward, and I've got this plan, and we're going to try and implement them. And it's great to hear. It's good to hear that someone in charge of the club has got such ambition for our club moving forward.
When you were at the club, Leon, did you ever hear anything from him?
From Mr. Machiri?
From Farhad. Did he ever meet the players? Did he ever?
He only took over not long before we left at the end of last season, and he did come down to the dressing room and say that similar things. He mentioned that, you know, he was going to be moving the club forward, and it's going to be a great place to play and stick with him. So, you know, he's now made them views public, what he intends to have happen. And, you know, I'm going to be supporting him. You know, if he's going to try and move our club forward, then, you know, I think we should all support him and give him the time to do it. It's
Do you know, he said one really good thing on the interview. He said an owner is someone who just hires and fires a manager. Mm. He said the rest is down to the manager. In other words, he said, I'm not interfering in anything else that's going on in the football club. Now, that isn't replicated, John, in a lot of football clubs, is it? Yeah. Owners generally like to have a little bit of a fiddle.
They do,
Well, that's Steve Walsh's job, isn't it? He brings the players in, Coleman coaches them. That's it, isn't it? It's spot on.
Well, to bring a person like Steve Walsh into the club, you've got to let him do his job. You've got to, you can't bring a man like that in and not let him do the job you've brought him in to do. You know, the coach seems to be coaching, and Mr. Machiri is going to be pushing the club forward on the business side. So, yeah, things are looking good. It's, you know, being a cynical Evertonian, that, you know, we've heard things happen before, and now we'd just like to see a bit of action. But from everything he's saying, you know, I'm fully supporting.
Anthony, thank you very much indeed.
Million, We've never seen 80 million get wiped from our debt before, though, have we?
Oh, right, well, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for the call. Top stuff, Anthony. Let's move to Mally, who's a Liverpool fan. An old Swan. Evening, Mally.
Hello, Mally. Not there.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Let me press a few buttons, see if I can reconnect with him.
Steve, you're still doing them mistakes.
I'm still learning this desk. Mally. Mally.
Is that all, though, yeah?
Yeah, you put a big smile on Ozzy's face here.
Hey, you know what,
cheers, Mally.
I'm not even going to go on about the match the other day, right? That's not the reason why I'm ringing.
Come on.
That was a good display the other day. But the reason why I'm ringing, right, I'll come to that in a minute. I've got a bit of a chesty cough. That's why I sound a bit horsey. But I knew you, John, as a mud man years ago, yeah? I played against you in Speak as a kid when I think you played for the Vic, was it?
The Vic.
My nephew, you might know my nephew, was that Sammy, Stevie Davis?
Go ahead, yeah. Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
And he played under you, I think, when you were manager, yeah?
Go on.
And I speak well of Stevie because he's doing well now. I think he's at Bradford now, Stevie.
Good.
But all the Davises, you must know Mark, his dad, then, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
And now the thing is, right, I'm not going to forget, I forget about that now. I just want to connect.
Hang on, was that a family catch-up? Can we get on to the footy, Mally?
No, listen, I remember as a kid playing against you in the Speak. I'm from Speak, me originally, lad.
What team did you play for in Speak?
Speak Old Boys, yeah.
Yeah, go on, yeah.
We played against you and it was on a Hale Field, yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. We must have battered you, did we?
If you've got a good memory, John, and I scored, right.
Oh, you've got to get it.
You beat us 2-1, right?
Yeah, go on.
I got the only goal of the game, right, and I was in the...
Hold on, it was not the only goal of the game if you got beat 2-1.
I mean, our only goal of the game.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay, Mal, yeah.
The ball comes to me. The goalie hit it out. He dropped in front of me. I was just beyond the halfway line in your half, and I whacked it. And it hit the underneath of the crossbar, and it went in, and you come over to me and John and went, kid, that was a cracking goal. Like, he didn't even know my name. And I went, John... And you were only a kid then, I didn't know. I knew you were playing because I sort of knew you in a way, but I went, oh, respect John, yeah. And you beat us that day 2-1, so respect for that.
Did I score, like?
What I'm thinking is, okay, it's over Liverpool.
Hold on, Mally, did I score in that game? That's the most important thing to me.
I think you did, John. I think you did that day, yeah.
You think?
Was it 1 or 2?
I'm concerned about my goal, mate, that day.
Mine would have been a little sniffy 6-yard box goal, mine, yeah. Go on, mate. What's about Liverpool?
We're talking about football now, Liverpool, right?
Yeah.
That was a good display the other day.
Mally, hang on. You've waffled on so long about your family. We've got to take a break now because I have to hit it.
Hold the line.
So stay there and know more about that goal. We'll talk about the Reds in a moment. So hang on right there. It's Radio City. It's the Legends, Ozzy and John Aldridge. Back in a moment.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7:07. This is the Legends. Leon Osman, John Aldridge, and Mally has been waiting patiently.
Mally, you're the legend on the show.
Hello,
we've got three
Mally.
We've got three legends now.
Hiya, Mally.
Oh, sorry, hey, mate, I'm on my temp can now.
I haven't got a chesty cough. You've had a swig.
A bad chesty cough, mate, yeah.
You're on the Kavona. Right, get your point across. Come on.
Do you know what, John? I want to speak to you about, obviously, the game the other day on Sunday, yeah, was a brilliant game. And it takes me back about a few years ago when Suarez was out for the first 7 games, yeah?
Yeah.
No, that year. Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
When he was out for 7 games, and a certain betting shop, I won't name them, gave 33-1 before the season for Liverpool to win it that year, right?
Yeah.
So I put a tender on it, and I went, right, I'll have 33-1 on that. And I go to the pub, my local in Old Swan, and the landlord is a blue, yeah? And he seen my bet, and went, Mally, put that tender on for me, and get me the same as you, Mally, before the season started. And I give him his ticket the next day. Oh, I made up with that. And next minute, you know why a certain betting shop done 33-1? Because you knew Suarez was out for 7 games, the first 7 games, yeah?
Yeah.
That's why he done it that way. Now, we where did we finish second in that league, John? We were so close,
yeah?
It was 3-0, Crystal Palace. We were beating them first half. Right. 2 games to go. They got 3 goals back in the second half. We got a point out of it, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the money, mate. I just wanted us to win the league that year for Stevie Gerrard, yeah?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't until 1990, the old league, when we last won that, yeah?
Come on, Mally, make your point. What do you want John to talk about?
Hey.
What do you want John to talk about, Mally?
Well, I want him to talk about
Have you had the bet this season, Mal?
Between Klopp.
Yeah.
And when did we won it that mm-hmm. when we could have won it then that year, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. There we
yeah.
go.
Well, I'd like to think if we get ourselves in a similar situation later on in the season, that we could see it through. You know, it wasn't entirely, you know, Brendan Rodgers' fault. But you know, I thought, the Chelsea game in particular, we went chasing the game, you know, chasing to win it and left ourselves open slightly. You know, we only needed really a point out that game. I think if that would have been the case, you know, the Palace game, we probably won that anyway, you know, 3-0 up. But the lads in the Palace game went chasing the goal. All of a sudden, they think they could win 5-6-7-1 because it looked that way at the time and the game got flipped on its head. But it was out of our hands then anyway because of the Chelsea game. So I just hope we get ourselves in a similar situation and hopefully Jurgen Klopp can see it through tactically. I think he's more adept than Brendan Rodgers was. He's got more experience in them situations as well because what he's done in Germany, and he's obviously won the Bundesliga as well.
Mally, I can't lift the fader up because we'll never get rid of you. We've only got 10 minutes. It was great to hear from you. Thank you very much indeed. We'll get back to old talk soon.
Leon said he'd keep him on.
We're going to Kirby to speak to Phil, who's an Everton fan. Evening. Welcome to Legends, Phil.
All right, boys.
Hello, Phil.
Swazzy, but also being a former manager as well, I thought his opinion. At the minute now, I think Chelsea and Liverpool are probably the two teams that want to go and play because they're on fire. And I just find it strange that someone like Koeman can go to Chelsea and play with three at the back when we haven't done it all season. With the week before, we've had four at the back. We've got a clean sheet and he wants to change it. I just find it strange. I just don't know, you know, he can't match Chelsea up. I mean, the class they've got. We shouldn't have done it. What do you think?
Well, we talked about it before, you know, Ozzy talks here about it. I think he made a big bloomer. And we talked about it on Thursday, myself and Sharpie. I just thought he probably showed Chelsea too much respect and it didn't come off. And, you know, maybe he should have come out and said it. Perhaps it was his fault. But, you know, Leon knows more than me.
Well, hindsight showed that it was the wrong decision. As you said, I think before this game we'd had one of the best three or four defences in the league. Okay, you're going to Chelsea, but I think Chelsea have played well this year, kept clean sheets, but they like to do that pretty much on the counter-attack more often than not. So, you know, it was a strange decision because not only did it stop us from being able to defend properly, as I said, our centre-halves kept getting pulled out wide into bad positions, but it stifled any kind of attack we had. You know, people didn't know what position they're running into, didn't know where to run to receive the ball. I think we had one shot in the whole game and it certainly wasn't on target. And, you know, I think it'll be a long time before he tries the three at the back again, that's for sure. Or at least he'll have to do a lot more work in training before he implements it again.
Yeah, well, do you know what, and still Mike Walker days, that's the most embarrassed I've been as an Evertonian because I think as well, the players, I know the manager puts the team out, but you've also got to put the effort in. I think the worst thing anyone could ever say about professional football is you didn't care. You can always say, you know what, his touch was awful, his finishing was terrible, but you know when someone says he didn't care, and he looked at that guy, I couldn't pick anyone out of Everton there. I thought he just didn't care. And for them supporters to go down, the money they paid out, I think, you know what, someone should have given them some of that money back. That was shocking. I didn't really thought it was.
It was obviously a bad afternoon. You know, as you said, to level an accusation at the players to say you didn't care is it's tough. It's not something a player ever wants to hear. You know, everyone have their own opinions of whether they thought that the players cared on the afternoon. I personally think that they ran around and they did try. I think the heads went after the fourth goal, especially in the second half, because I think at half time we came out for the first 5 minutes and tried to really get back in the game, and you could see the front three charging about a little bit. But after the fourth goal went in, you know, heads went. And
you play most of the lads there, and you play, you know, when things are going wrong and it's 1-0, 2-0, I want to see leaders going, hey, what are you, don't go over there, give him a hand, he's getting short, go and help him out, you know, someone shout, someone leading, we're going to get beat, we're going to beat 2-0, not 5-0. Have a bit of pride about yourselves, do you know what I mean? It's just, I want someone shouting and making things happen.
Absolutely. You know, I couldn't agree more. You need minimum one really loud, take control leader on the pitch. But you know, look at the team. There was a lot of experience we had out in that team. We had Ashley Williams, you know, Phil Jagielka, Gaz Barry, all very experienced players, all leaders, all been captains of teams. And you know, for whatever reason, either it wasn't done, or the message didn't get across. But you're right. You know, I think there's got to come a point where it's damage limitation, and you know, we might not score, but you know, 3-0's enough. And yeah, and the lads didn't do it on time, but Chelsea were magnificent. Let's not forget that.
I know that, but you know, I just think we could have got a better shift than that. I mean, I even looked at Watford at Liverpool yesterday. Liverpool could have been 10-0, but you know what? Watford were having a go at them. They were still going. They had a few chances. Liverpool's keeper made a few good saves. Well, we didn't make their keeper move.
Phil, just a quickie. Give us your take on the keeper, Stekelenburg.
I would have kept Rowles in goal. He had a clean sheet the week before. Right. I would have kept Rowles in goal, to be honest. I thought he had a bad decision against him. Like, I mean, he had the same with Martinez. Yeah. He kept 3 clean sheets last year, and Martinez brought Howard back in. And I think, you know, when someone's playing like that, you think, what have we got to do to stay in?
Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks for your call, Phil, this evening. Yourself, is the keeper position, is that still up for sort of debate at the moment?
Well, you know, after the Man City game, you'd say absolutely not. You know, when the keeper plays as well as he did on that afternoon and saves two penalties. But, you know, in the game since, he's not covered himself in glory. And, you know, I think maybe the first goal he was a bit onside, or, you know, he maybe thought Pedro was going to get a foot on the ball. It maybe could have been called offside, but I still think he should have saved it. You know, the second one, he gets nutmegged. So, yeah, I think the questions will still be being asked.
Karius, second half, had some stuff to do, didn't he?
Yeah, done all right. Yeah, done okay. You know, he's been void of any action, to be fair, the way Liverpool's defended. In many games, we've been obviously made mistakes and we've had goals conceded. But he's, you know, for the first time on Saturday, he had to pull off 4 or 5 saves, a couple of which were very, very good.
I think them saves will have done his confidence a world of good.
Absolutely.
You know, the team's 5 or 6 up or whatever it might have been at the time, and he had a little bit of work to do, made some good saves, because in the first half, I think a cross came in and he sort of nearly went for it and he didn't.
Yeah,
and you could see he was still a little bit shaky. But second half, he made some good saves and, you know, he'll be chest out for the next game. He'll be feeling a lot better.
He needed that. You know, he did need some saves to make, because obviously the only time we've seen him is picking the ball out the back of the net. he's been redundant. So, and it was good. So make him feel more at home, more at ease, you know, a bit of confidence, yeah.
Right, let's bring our next caller into it. Dave, who's a Liverpool fan. Welcome to Legends, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Hi, folks.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
John, last time I was through speaking to you, I spoke about Edna Chan after the United game, and he's got 2 goals in 2 games since. So I'm hoping my subject this time will have the same sort of positive effect. But people are talking about us being in with a real shout at the title this year, and the same pundits are saying that the defence is going to be our Achilles heel and really let us down. So what do you think? Do you think Klopp should really, in the January transfer window, go out and bolster his defensive options, or do you think it's just about getting it together on the training field with the people that he's got?
Yeah, I think probably the latter, what you said. I think in a way we do concede goals because we're so expansive in the way we play football. We look to get forward, the full-backs look to push forward all the time. You know, leave 2 at the back, one sitting, whether it's Henderson or what. We just look to score goals and make things difficult for teams all the time. Which, if you're going to play that way, you know, you could get caught out.
Yeah.
The most important thing for me is the set plays and corners against. In general play, we've only conceded a few goals all season. You know, most of them have come from set plays or corners against. So that's the area which, and the manager knows. You know, you've on Saturday we give very little away until later in the game when they just threw caution to the wind to try and get something out of the game. A couple of little moments where they could have scored, but certainly if we are to go on and challenge for the league and win it, we have got to, you know, just close it up and get more clean sheets, because there are going to be times when you're not going to have the capability, or you're not going to be playing well and you have to score 3 goals to win a game, or 2, 3 or 4. You know, that doesn't happen. You might have to grind a couple out, 1-0 or 2-1. You know, but we'll see. But
so I think Klopp will have been annoyed at that at the weekend.
Oh, they did, you know, the clean sheet.
You know, to have scored all them goals and not to have kept a clean sheet when you know that you've been conceding a lot of goals lately. A clean sheet would have been massive for you at the weekend. And
agree.
And you know, that'll be really annoying for him. And you know, I think he won't change anything. I think he'll keep playing the way you're playing, but he'll be desperate for a clean sheet more than
elusive
more
at the
than
moment,
goals.
Isn't he?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
He just can't get a clean
sheet.
It'll
be what he wants. He'll want a clean sheet more than say 4 or 5 goals for the next few weeks.
Absolutely.
He'd take a 1-0 win just to prove his team can keep
do
a clean sheet.
Yeah, I've seen people say maybe, you know, bring Sacco back into the equation, but we were conceding goals left, right, and centre with him in the team. I don't think he's the answer.
Yeah, no.
And maybe
no,
that's the answer. Maybe that's the thing, isn't it? You know,
he knows.
Don't need somebody new.
Look, he knows his best parents, Lovren and Matip, who looks the business. You know, Lucas came yesterday and he done really, really well. He reads the game fantastically well. I liken him to Colin Todd years ago, too old for you, so no, that type of player, Lucas.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. But you can depend on him in situations. He's such a great pro to come in. And obviously he's got Clavin as well, who looks all right as well. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Dave, are they going to win the title?
I'm taking it. You know, the old cliche, one game at a time at the moment, Steve.
You're in all those cars, aren't you? Don't hang your neck out too far. Dave,
it's
thank you very much indeed.
It's only a quarter of the season,
but it's fun. Dave, have a great evening. Thanks very much. We're going to take another caller just before we get off air. It's Ian, who's in Hythe, and he's actually a Liverpool fan. So look, you can take the tin hat
cheers
off.
Ian.
Ozzy's had it easy
you.
Tonight. Evening, Ian.
All right, boys, all right?
Hi, Ian, all right, pal.
Yeah, all right, mate. What I was going to say is, regarding the team at the moment, so obviously we're doing really well. And he got the young lads coming through, the big tall lad, they come from out the lads down, the big tall lad who come on.
Azaria.
I mean,
he done well for the goal, didn't he? He had a hand in the last goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he reminds me a bit like Vieira, I don't really think, John. He's just got something about that lad. I like him. I think he's going to do really well. But the thing is, though, what I think is I think this is only 50% there of what Klopp wants with his squad. I think there's going to be, you know, this is not the finished team for Klopp. Klopp's only, he's only stamped a little bit on it. Like, you know, we still got, you know, quite a bit to go. And the fact that we're top of the league, we're doing so well, it's scary out of where we could be when he's happy with it.
Well, what you're saying is there, right? Because after every game, he's saying it's not perfect. It's just not what I want, you know. And I like that rather than a manager coming out and saying, you know, it's been fantastic and this and, you know, boosted up to the heights, you know, he just keeps his feet on the ground and the players' feet on the ground, not to get carried away too much, because you can always do better, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought a little rumours then about Coutinho, possibility going to Barcelona. I just think if he's swallowed up in that team, I don't think he'd get again.
You're going to get that. You're going when a player's playing to the heights is what he is this season. And he went to the Barcelona hotel to see Suarez last weekend when he played Manchester City.
That's right,
now, people put 2 and 2 together and get 5. But hey, all I can say is if he keeps on playing the way he's playing, Barcelona and Real Madrid will have him on the radar without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully he doesn't go. But I've just got so much. Klopp, I just think he's such a breath of fresh air. You know, he's just got, you know, the crowd. You know, just everything what he's brought to the club. You know, he's just, you know, I know Man United fans are absolutely gutted. They never got him. But I just think it's everything's just looking up. It's great, and he's not trying to spend stupid money either. He's getting results. The team's doing well, and he's not spending silly money.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right.
Ian,
absolutely.
Brilliant.
Well done,
great call. Thank you very much indeed. Have a great night. Just a quickie before we go. So for Liverpool, what will be really interesting is to see how the players react now they're top of the league a couple of weeks. That is fascinating, isn't it?
To be knocked off, aren't you?
Yeah.
But at least we're not playing catch-up like we have done for so many seasons. You know, when you're looking at the top and you're 8 points off or you're 10 points off, knowing you're no chance of making it in there, we're there. Let's hope we can stay there.
And for Everton, Ozzy. They want to play right now, don't they?
Yeah,
2 weeks is too long, is it?
That is, yeah.
Absolutely. That's,
is this agony? You'd have been
scenario.
Through this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, thank you.
The fans as well. It's agonising, you know, because you want the next game to come, don't you?
Yeah, you want to put it behind you as quickly as you can. And the only way of doing that is to getting out on the pitch and getting the next result right. And, you know, we've now got to sit for 2 weeks before the next game, before they can make amends.
It was easy, wasn't it, tonight? Everyone was dead nice to you.
Doddle, wasn't he?
No tin hat. No one got really angry anyway, did they? I think some Evertonians...
To be fair, there was a bit of frustration out there from the Everton, but what's you'd expect that, don't you? Absolutely, when you beat Chelsea, of all teams, 5-0, absolutely.
Chaps, thank you very much. Leon Osman, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp's doing the FA Cup draw tonight. He'll be back on Thursday when the Legends returns.